Last year, you may have made some smart decisions and you may have made some not so smart decisions, like maybe putting too much trust in those friends you met at the hotel in Sicily. The good news is making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday night to you. I hope you had a tremendous weekend. I hope you had a good Monday. I hope none of your coworkers punched you in the face. Hope you didn't get home, sent home from work. I hope you just had a good time. I know what I'm going to do here for the next 4 hours. That's have a good time, okay? Shout out to everybody listening all over North America. This is when we get started, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. I am coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. My co-worker, he's not here with me. He's coming to you live from New York City. But we're together. And yes, of course, over the next 4 hours, we got a lot to talk about, including Rudy Gobert punching his own teammate. And that's nice. And now he's sent home and he won't be in the play-in game. And it's a lot of fun. Great story. We'll get into it. Also, the Tampa Bay Rays, they won their 10th consecutive game to start the season tonight. They just keep winning and winning and winning. The Masters took place over the weekend. By the time I left you all on Friday night, Brooks Koepka was pretty much leading. Looked like he had a commanding lead and couldn't hold on to it. And John Rahm won the Masters. A lot of fun there. Rory McIlroy is already saying screw the next PGA event. Last night we learned that Odell Beckham Jr. is on his way to the Baltimore Ravens. Is that going to make a difference for Lamar Jackson? We will discuss this. Looks like Lamar Jackson and Odell Beckham Jr., they were able to get together over the weekend and actually celebrate some things. The WNBA, they're having their draft tonight. Yeah, WNBA. College game was better, but yeah, congratulations, Aaliyah Boston, being selected number one to the Indiana Fever. I had to mention it and show them some love. And so we got a lot to do. We're just right there. At the beginning of the NBA playoffs, we have to get through the play-in over the next couple of days, and we got a lot of things to discuss. And then the NBA season is over, which means the Dallas Mavericks are going to be investigated because they just, you can tank, but don't tank so blatantly. So we'll get into the Mavs as well. You want to talk to me, it's simple. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. If you follow me on social media, at JR Sport Brief, you will already know about everything that we will discuss tonight because I posted it there. And so in a few seconds, let's not waste time. I want to talk to you about this Rudy Gobert situation. Shep, how was your weekend?
No complaints, JR. I appreciate you asking. How was yours? And thank you for always being nonviolent, by the way.
I try my best. Thank you, Shep. It was good. Let's get to someone who did have a violent weekend. And I understand. I'm sure by now everyone has seen the punch that Rudy Gobert threw at his own teammate, Kyle Anderson. It took place yesterday in the second quarter. The Minnesota Timberwolves were taking on the New Orleans Pelicans to close out the season. It was a hell of an end to the game. The Timberwolves ultimately came back to beat New Orleans 113-108. But there are a few things that people remember here. Really, only maybe two or three things. It's just Anthony Edwards at the end of the game losing his mind, blocking shots and making tough ones, just wild sequence to help win the game. That's one thing. Jaden McDaniels, he got upset after a couple of foul calls, and he punched the wall. Well, he also broke his hand, and so he's not going to be participating in the play-in game as Minnesota gets ready to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. So that's one thing. And this is the big news. When a 7'1", 7'2" human being lunges at another one, oh, man, it's bound to be fun, right? Unless you're on the receiving end. And so that's exactly what Rudy Gobert did in punching Kyle Anderson in the chest. And I understand, folks. If you've seen the video, I'm sure you have by now. This was not one of these Mike Tyson haymakers. This wasn't a hook to the face. This was not a two-piece combo. This was not a Mortal Kombat Superman punch. He just kind of lunged at him and nudged him. And then they were separated. And, you know, even Rudy Gobert was pushed away. And he ultimately went to the back. And that was it. The Minnesota Timberwolves sent him home. They won the game. And we have learned today that Rudy Gobert is suspended one game. The most important game of the season for the Minnesota Timberwolves, Rudy Gobert is gone. Minnesota will take on the Lakers. They will have no Jaden McDaniels, who decided to break his own damn hand. They will have no Rudy Gobert, who decided to try to punch his own damn teammate. And of course, quite a few people spoke after the fact, including Minnesota Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch, after the victory. Yeah, they actually won the basketball game. Chris Finch was asked, what the hell happened between Rudy and Kyle? And this is what Chris Finch said.
Chris, it obviously got really emotional there in the second quarter. What did you see in the Rudy-Kyle situation?
It's very frustrating, you know, a couple blown assignments. A lot on the line tonight, you know, we're not proud of that behavior by anybody. We really haven't dug too far into like the root cause of it, but guys were just frustrated. We weren't playing well. We weren't sharing the ball. We weren't, you know, we're getting beat in all the little areas. I mean, we look sluggish, like you deal on a back to back, but I think the gravity of the game made it feel like, you know, we were in a little bit of panic mode, and we, you know, just trying to get calmed down there. So.
Oh, okay. Panic mode. Well, the actual reports say that they were beefing with each other, not just about assignments, but, hey, you rebound a basketball. You block some shots. Rudy Gobert supposedly very hurt yesterday. His back was hurting. He shouldn't have been playing. And he didn't understand, reportedly, allegedly, while Kyle Anderson was giving him such a difficult time. He's like, man, I'm out here busting my ass. I'm playing through pain and injury, and you giving me crap. And then there were a lot of expletives thrown back and forth. Kyle Anderson allegedly told him to shut up and use some very colorful language and calling him some names. And then Rudy Gobert, the gigantic Frenchman, decided to strike after the game. This was a victory, by the way. Kyle Anderson was asked about this in the locker room. And he's just like, man, this is business as usual. People try to hit me all the time.
It is what it is. We move forward. We want to win games. It is what it is. I mean, it ain't the first time someone has swung on me. It is what it is. We keep it in-house.
Yep. Is that, do you think you've always been a vocal leader? Is that just kind of go with the territory a little bit challenging?
I think tempers just flared. Yeah. That's all. It is what it is. We'll speak about it and move on. We grown men. It is what it is. Let's move on.
Oh, okay. Rudy Gobert couldn't move on. Rudy Gobert went to the back. The Minnesota Timberwolves sent him home. We did not see him the rest of the game. And we will not see Rudy Gobert tomorrow when Minnesota takes on the Los Angeles Lakers with a chance to secure the 7th seed in the playoffs. They're going to hope to take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Whoever wins this game will take on Memphis as the number 7 seed. But the reality is, what the hell are they paying Rudy Gobert for? It was already ridiculous what they traded to bring him in. Rudy Gobert, general manager Tim Connelly from Denver, he's now Minnesota's GM. He comes in, and he trades for Rudy Gobert, gives up 4 first-round picks, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, Walker Kessler, who's also now a member of the Utah Jazz and had a damn good rookie year, even outside of the players, 4 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert? I sent this out on social media today. When does Tim Connelly get the boot for making his dumbass trade? Rudy Gobert is already just odd. And not too much offensive skill. He doesn't fly to the basket on pick and rolls and is an alley-oop threat the way that you would believe he is. He's been a defensive player of the year. He's tall, he's big, he rebounds, can lift his hands up, isn't necessarily defending anybody the best out on the perimeter, if you ask me, and God bless him. God bless the giant Frenchman. But I would say that Rudy Gobert is overpaid. He's in the midst now of a 5-year, $205 million contract. When I look at that type of contract, a maximum type deal, I'm expecting you to like potentially lead me to the playoffs. I'm expecting you to have such an impact that we can win some games. I'm expecting something that gets us over the edge, and I get it, defense wins championships, but if you can't score, you ain't going nowhere. And so Rudy Gobert was already behind the eight ball when he signed this contract. He was already pretty much a joke and a laughingstock to other players in the league. And now the 7'2" Frenchman, he's not even available for the biggest game of the season because he wanted to punch and lunge at his own teammate. What a way to earn your money. What a way to go out there and be a leader. What a way to make a difference. General Manager Connelly a couple of months ago said, oh, I'm a big boy. I can take care and I can deal with the criticism. He wasn't sleeping good last night. Unless he's already resigned to the fate that he's getting the boot. This trade is going to destroy the Wolves for years unless they go out there and flip Karl-Anthony Towns. That might be his saving grace, but I don't even think that's going to work. Minnesota Timberwolves are giving up alternating first-round picks between now and 2029. You can't trade first-rounders back-to-back years. Minnesota Timberwolves are a joke. Anthony Edwards is probably going to have to be someone to put on a cape and lead the way for the Timberwolves just to have some type of respectability. And then Rudy Gobert put out a whole statement. Emotions got the best of me. I should not have reacted the way I did, regardless of what was said. I want to apologize to the fans, the organization, and particularly to Kyle Anderson, who is someone that I truly love and respect as a teammate. That's fine. You don't love and respect him that much. Families fight, families argue, families beef, teammates fight, they beef, they disagree, they get sick of each other. You don't love and respect him that much that you wanted to lunge and punch him. And now you're gone. And now Rudy Gobert is even more of a jerk. You think he's going to get better with age? You think Rudy Gobert, the basketball player, is going to, he's just going to get better in time like he's some type of a fine wine stored in a cellar? No, he's not. He's going to get worse as he ages. Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns had to miss a good portion of the season. Rudy Gobert, block numbers went down this year. Rebounds went down. He ain't much of a scorer, but points went down. 13 points, 12 rebounds, a block and a half. Hey, Rudy Gobert, all them All-Star games aren't doing anything for you into the future. And so we will not see him against the Lakers. A part of Chris Finch, Timberwolves head coach, a part of his statement was saying that we can't deal with this crap. This is inexcusable. You can't go unpunished. We'll take care of it in-house. Listen to what Chris Finch said.
Certainly not something that we condone. I mean, veterans can get upset too.
So I don't, you know, want to be too hard on him, but obviously it's not something we're going to be able to tolerate here. And I'm sure he's already remorseful. I haven't had a chance to speak with him about it.
Yeah, he put out his stupid Twitter statement about how he loves and respects Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson doesn't sound like he could give the time of day to Rudy Gobert, especially the way that he was cursing him out. He seemed a little too comfortable in doing so. Like he has probably potentially been in that position before to just cuss the living hell out of Rudy Gobert. He's a $205 million punching bag. He's not the real defensive player of the year. He's soft. We remember, I certainly do, at the beginning of COVID, he was the first player to publicly have it, especially after he made jokes about spreading it. He was the one to spread it. Donovan Mitchell and him couldn't stand each other. Now they're separated. And now he's missing the biggest game of the season. The Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, the team that started off like 2-10, but now they're in a play-in. Darvin Ham, head coach of the Lakers, was asked about this situation with Minnesota. He was asked today at practice, what you think about Rudy? What you think about the fact that he's not playing? Darvin Ham said, man, I am worried about one thing, and it ain't the Wolves.
It's not Laker business. We all focus on Lakers business. And it's an unfortunate situation, but I really don't have an opinion on it. We just focus on trying to be the best version of ourselves and what we got to do. It's not about who we playing. It's about how we play and putting our best foot forward.
Oh, it ain't about them. It's about us and what we do. We don't have anybody on our team punching each other, not now at least. And so good on the Los Angeles Lakers. They're trying to win tomorrow's play-in game against these shorthanded, crazy Timberwolves. The Lakers are trying to go take on the Memphis Grizzlies. And they're trying to go on a playoff run and cross their fingers that both LeBron James and Anthony Davis are around to see it all the way through. Thank you so much to the Minnesota Timberwolves for a season that was just, I was ready for it to end. They gave us some drama. They gave us some excitement on the last day. The NBA season in total started off in practice. The big story, Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole. In the conclusion of the regular season, we see Rudy Gobert trying to go out there and punch Kyle Anderson. It's amazing how the NBA can just come full circle. Thank you, Minnesota, for being dysfunctional. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We are full of fun dysfunction, organized dysfunction. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for the next several hours. If you want to holler at me, it's simple. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to talk more about these play-in games. We're going to talk about some additional rumors going around in the NBA. We're going to show love to the Rays. We're going to talk about John Rahm winning the Masters. Odell to the Ravens. We got a lot to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. JR wants to hear from you. Call him now at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. It's nice, right? NBA season is done. I've been waiting on this forever. But let's just get to the playoffs already. And then the Minnesota Timberwolves, they come through with a bang, and they give us some controversy to end the season. Thank you, Rudy Gobert, for punching Kyle Anderson. Maybe if he would have connected, it'd be even more exciting. But, hey, you got to take what you can get, right? And so the Minnesota Timberwolves, they'll take on the Los Angeles Lakers tomorrow night. No Rudy Gobert. He's suspended. And then no Jaden McDaniels. He punched the wall. Yeah. Yeah, professional athlete who has to use his hand, specifically his right hand, decided to punch a wall. And he broke it. Fractured his hand. What a genius. Anyway, people get emotional. I think most people know how to control their emotions where they don't screw themselves at work. Anyway, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I thought the Dallas Mavericks gave us all the dysfunction to end the season with their quitting. But I even have an update on that. I'll get to that momentarily. Let's go out to Hawaii and talk to Todd. Todd, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, JR. I talked to you after the Knicks game, and rightfully so, you said you definitely weren't going to pass out a crown to the Kings until they won it all, and you're not going to give them flowers until they win something. Well, JR, we won the Pacific. So give me a flower. Get ready. I want your opinion on the Warriors. And is this investigation against Dallas going to go anywhere? And, baby, I'm back in SAC. I'm looking for tickets, the most expensive play game of all time. It is Be Malicious here, buddy. I'll be calling you back soon.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate you for calling from Hawaii, man. Thank you so much. I've never heard Be Malicious before. I don't think I ever want to hear the term Be Malicious. I also said nothing about giving the Sacramento Kings their flowers. And I understand that the Sacramento Kings, this is their first time in the playoffs since 2006. I'm not expecting them to do any damage. Are they going to upset the Golden State Warriors? It's a possibility. I'm going to take the Golden State Warriors in this series. I will give and have given the Sacramento Kings credit for what they've done. They were able to turn the season around, or let me say turn the franchise around, and go back to the playoffs. What is there to miss? They almost won 50 games. They're the third seed in the Western Conference. How much more credit am I supposed to give them? At this point, all I can say about the Sacramento Kings is, hey, every step that they improve and continue on, I'm going to go ahead and give them a pat on the back. I can tell you this. I don't see them winning no damn championship. I think this is a good first step to get there. And if they are to defeat the Golden State Warriors, even more power to them. That would be more impressive to me than what they've been able to do throughout the course of the season. Mike Brown is likely to win Coach of the Year. We've seen De'Aaron Fox go ahead and improve. You can look at Lyles and his shooting and what he's done. Sabonis, I read a great article in the New York Times about Sabonis trying or being comfortable being the son of Arvidas, who was ridiculously talented in his own right. If only we saw him in the NBA for more than about 7 or 8 years. And so all due and congrats to the Kings for getting here. I'd be more impressed if they beat Golden State. And if they do that, I hate to break it to you, that's a great first step, but I don't see a whole lot. The Kings season, this Kings year, is going to go down as a success. It doesn't matter where the season concludes. To me, they still need a few things. They need depth. They need more experience, and part of that is going to come through this year. And they need defense. And until they have that, man, this is a great season, but they got room to improve, just like most teams. But they can take solace in the fact that they are finally here, back in the big dance, back in the playoffs, and they don't even have to deal with this stupid play-in nonsense. The Sacramento Kings are here, and they are going to be in action later this week. You don't have to wait the next couple of days against the Golden State Warriors. Game one is going to take place on Saturday, and kudos to you there. You asked me about the Dallas Mavericks. What am I expecting from the Dallas Mavericks? I think the NBA is going to punish them. The NBA already made it clear. Mike Bass put out a statement over the weekend, and he said the NBA is investigating the behavior of the Dallas Mavericks from this past Friday. You might remember, they played against the Chicago Bulls, and Jason Kidd showed how poorly he would be as a politician because he sat there and said, in no uncertain terms, yeah, we were going to play our guys, and then we realized it made no sense to play our guys. It made more sense for us to lose. And so we are not playing our best dudes. it strips the integrity from the game. And we know in every sport, in every league, especially here in the NBA, teams tank. Have you watched some of the teams this season? The San Antonio Spurs ran around. Greg Popovich told you from the beginning of the year, don't expect nothing from us. We're going to suck. We know that there are teams that are no good. And they try to lose on purpose. But nobody's so brazen to just come out at the end of the year and go, you know what, we ain't winning nothing. Let's just park the cars and call it a night. Luka Doncic playing 13 minutes is a sham for all of the paying customers and fans who show up. And Kyrie Irving, I guess Kyrie Irving shows up. That's nice in and of itself. And he was done. And now the Dallas Mavericks go into an offseason where Kyrie Irving is a free agent. The conversations about Luka Doncic and whether or not he's comfortable with the Dallas Mavericks and their ability to compete into the future. And then they also might lose some of their draft picks. And the reason why they try to sit these dudes down, because they wanted to maintain their draft pick, and the NBA might take future ones from them. I'm expecting that. You can't screw around with the integrity of the game. Not publicly either. And then Luka had to answer some questions yesterday. The Mavs lost to the Bulls, or excuse me, the Spurs. You wouldn't know who the hell was on either team. But Luka spoke to the media afterwards. And Luka basically said, man, am I ready to leave Dallas? This was a very diplomatic answer. And the reporter just tried to dig it out of him. Listen to Luka after the game yesterday.
Luka, when we talked to Cuban the other day, he said, obviously they want to keep you forever, but essentially they have to earn your loyalty. How do you feel about kind of the direction this franchise is going and what needs to happen to make you comfortable that this can be a long-term fit for you?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the report. I don't know who. Somebody said that I was gonna request a trade. It was funny, you know, because I didn't know that was true. I didn't say it.
I didn't say it. I didn't. I know. Be very clear.
I don't know. Sources said.
No. To be very clear. I want to get this straight, seriously, I want to get this straight. Never did I say, hey, Luka is indicating that you're gonna request a trade. What I said is, if they don't get this right over the next year, there is a fear that you could come to them as Anthony Davis did in New Orleans, James Harden did in Houston, Kevin Durant just did in Brooklyn, say, hey, if we don't have a chance to win a championship, you know, something's got to change.
I know what you're saying, but so, I'm happy here. So there's nothing to worry.
You heard it. Luka Doncic tried to be a comedian first. Hey, sources said that I might request a trade if we don't get better. But there's nothing to worry about because I'm happy here. Well, it was only a couple of days ago where Luka Doncic said he's frustrated. And I'm sure it's a combination of both. But I think anyone who's watched or followed sports long enough knows. That's today. And him saying that he's happy here, it might be in overall. He might enjoy Dallas. He might enjoy the fan base. He might enjoy the organization. But he don't enjoy losing. He doesn't enjoy the Dallas Mavericks going 38-44, picking up Kyrie Irving, and then missing the playoffs. He didn't enjoy playing with Kristaps Porzingis. He doesn't enjoy watching from the sidelines. And I think something that Luka does enjoy a little too much is some of that food. Maybe he'll come back next offseason and actually be in decent basketball shape. Maybe Luka can also take some pointers at a press conference from the one and only Jason Kidd. I say that facetiously because Jason Kidd, he sucked in trying to deliver his message. So much so that the Dallas Mavericks, man, they probably going to lose some picks. You know, for the hell of it, if you want to know what a terrible politician would sound like, listen to Jason Kidd. This was last Friday. Jason Kidd explaining to everyone why the Dallas Mavericks decided to sit their starters when paying fans spend their hard-earned money to watch a game, listen to Jason Kidd be terrible.
We were fighting for our lives and understanding this is the situation we're in, but the organization has made a decision to change. And so, you know, we have to go by that. And that's, you know, just something that happens. And so the guys that are playing, we got to go out there and put our best foot forward. And we talked about that this afternoon. And the guys that are playing are going to go out to try to play to win.
Do you agree with the decision?
Yes, those are my bosses, so yes.
Where are the cojones? They don't exist. Sorry, Jason Kidd. Sorry. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to try to have more guts than Jason Kidd at a press conference. When we come back from break, phone lines open if you want to give me a holler. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. It was also a busy weekend. It was a rainy, windy, ugly weekend in Augusta. The Masters came, it went. We have a new first-time champion. We have some former champions who didn't do a damn thing. And then we have one guy who didn't even make the cut who said, I ain't playing golf no more this week. I'll fill you in. We'll talk about Odell to the Ravens. We got a lot to do.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Doug, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
The best coach in the NBA right now is a coach that gets out of the way and just lets his superstar players play. Budenholzer, he didn't really coach nobody. You know, Giannis took over in the last game, and that was it, against the Suns.
What's the coach's name of the Bucks?
Budenholzer.
My man.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Well, he certainly enjoyed saying Budenholzer's name. And Budenholzer is waiting to figure out who comes out in the eighth spot in the play-in. We'll get back to the NBA and the play-in later on in the show. You got a couple of matchups that are already set. Even for the actual playoffs, we have a few that are taken care of already. But by the time we finish up on air tomorrow, we're going to know who's going into the playoffs. We have Atlanta and Miami. We have Minnesota and Los Angeles. And we'll get back into that later on in the show. Something else that took place over the weekend. The last time I had a chat with you on Friday, Brooks Koepka was in the lead here for the Masters. And Shep, you had a show last night, I should say, given the time and all that.
Late last night, West Coast time. So it was 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time. So early Sunday morning on the East Coast.
Oh, so the Masters, it wasn't done yet. It was still rolling on after the suspension.
Yes, it was the second suspension for inclement weather. And the top guys, Rahm and Bennett, and obviously the fallen Koepka, they had 18 holes remaining.
Yeah, and what happened with Brooks Koepka at the end? He basically crapped the bed. In the fourth round, he shot a 3-over par. He finished tied with Phil Mickelson, who found the I don't know if I'd call it the fountain of youth. If Phil Mickelson right now is just like a ghost. And he is. He doesn't talk to anybody. The last time he opened up his mouth, he's talking about LIV Golf, and he's calling these guys. He basically said, I'm taking money from bad people, and he still took the money.
But, JR, I'll say this, though. I mean, a lot of people had Rory winning this weekend. People didn't have Tiger making the cut. But to me, and Rahm's great. He's now a multiple-time major winner. He's got such a big game. But Phil Mickelson, to not just compete in your 50s, but everyone thought he was done once he won his last major at 50 years old. But if Rahm doesn't have an incredible, you know, round four, Phil Mickelson wins this tournament, because I believe Brooks Koepka would have fell apart even more so. I mean, he crapped the bed in the first part of that round four. The moment got to him, JR. And similarly to what we saw from Koepka.
Of bogeys.
Yeah, in 2019, when Tiger chased him down and the moment got to him. This is not, and remember, he's finally healthy now. The kneecap doesn't bother him the same way it did the last couple years when he missed the cut. So what we're seeing from Koepka is the moment is getting too big for him. And remember, JR, this was his time to qualify because he has the exemption because of the multi majors that he's won beforehand. Now he's got to be a certain ranking, which he's not going to be able to do because he's on LIV Golf. So he's not going to even be able to play in future Masters now.
Well, between Brooks Koepka and Rory McIlroy, maybe they can share tips on how to choke. Rory McIlroy has already withdrew from the RBC Heritage this weekend in South Carolina. He's already withdrew from a tournament earlier on this year, and this one he's required to go to, so he's probably going to miss out on some money by not participating. So Rory McIlroy didn't even make the cut. And Brooks Koepka decided to just flat fall apart at the end. He talked after the tournament, and this is what Brooks Koepka had to say about his play on Sunday. Listen.
It's super disappointing, right? Didn't play good enough to win. Hit some shots where I also didn't feel like I got some good breaks. I mean, for that ball to sit there on 9, on 4 and 6, hit some good shots. He just ended up in some terrible spots where it was quite difficult. And then, 12, it was just kind of interesting. John hit 9, and I hit wedge over the green. So, and then 14, I felt like I just had to make a run for it. So, didn't feel like I did too much wrong, but that's how golf goes sometimes.
Damn. I want to take him out for ice cream. Like, I know he lost. He choked away a prime opportunity. I mean, he sounded sad. I guess you would be sad if you decide to just choke things away from there. It's pretty bad. Hey, you know what? Just to brighten the mood a little bit, let's hear from the guy who actually won. John Rahm. You heard from Shep. This is now his second major. He won the U.S. Open 2 years ago. He was the first Spaniard to do this. This was his second major winning the Masters. At least, Shep, when they do this stupid-ass dinner next year, at least the food will be good.
Someone suggested it might be a couple noodles, but we'll hold our breath.
Yeah, I mean, the stupid guys, well, Scotty, Shep, no disrespect. Come on now. He's handing out beef sliders and Oreo stuff for dessert. Like, what was missing? They didn't have any more chicken fingers and French fries? Like, what are they doing? And so at least I would hope and expect for the Spaniard to come through and at least have a fresh, delicious meal for everybody in Augusta next year. Congratulations, John Rahm, 28 years old. This is what he said yesterday about the emotions and just winning the Masters. Listen to this.
Obviously, we all dream of things like this as players, and you try to visualize what it's going to be like and what it's going to feel like. And when I hit that third shot on the green, and I could tell it was close by the crowd's reaction, just the wave of emotion of so many things just overtook me. Never thought I was going to cry by winning a golf tournament, but I got very close on that 18th hole.
Yeah, well, now he has a green jacket. He will dictate what everybody eats at the championship dinner next year. And, Shep, I've made it not a life goal. I'm making it my own personal project. I want to know, just maybe over the past 20 years, what everybody has decided to kind of put on the menu for their dinner. Because I was just, I'm not going to say I was shocked by Scottie Scheffler, but I want to know what Tiger Woods, you know, put on his menu. I want to know what these dudes had besides this, it felt like they were eating at Arby's.
Jared, my question for you would be, and not to totally turn this around on you, but how many more times are we going to see Mr. Woods play at the Masters? That would be my question for you.
I mean, well, not a lot. This man got a rod and a plate in his leg. He had to quit over the weekend.
Oh, that was, JR, that was, I mean, listen, I know that Tiger is going to be, he's an ambassador of the game. We see how much he has stuck by the PGA alongside Rory. I love how he has taken that position. So he is going to be an incredible figure for the sport for decades to come.
Unless some strippers pop up in his curtain.
Well, let's hope that he's moved on. Although some people like Erica Herman would suggest otherwise. But JR, but do you see? That was tough to watch, man. Like,
was it?
Yeah, Tiger Woods.
What, watching him limp around?
Yeah, that was okay. Really difficult to watch. And he's not that old. And that's the That's the troubling thing about this. I know he's made 20-some-odd cuts at the Masters at this point, but you see couples at 63 making the cut. You see Phil tying for second at 52. Tiger is 47 years old. He should have at least another decade in him to compete. Tom Watson almost won the British at 60, for God's sake. So
not the way that Tiger Woods has been living life,
It's tough to, JR, it's tough to, man, this guy at this point should have been breaking Jack Nicklaus's record, and see him hobbling out there in his
he has sad,
man.
And it's not easy. He's lived a tough, difficult, and I'm not going to say difficult. I'm not trying to make people look at Tiger Woods and go, oh my God, well, let's feel sorry or feel bad for Tiger. Oh, his life has been so. That's not what I'm saying. When you look at his life and the scrutiny of which he's been under since he was a teenager, and you think about the expectations, and this is the case, unfortunately, for a lot of people who have a lot of success, a lot of access, a lot of money, a lot of funds, a lot of pitfalls, a lot of downfalls. Man, it eats you up and it eats you alive. And so in the case of Tiger Woods, this has been a slow burn down the hill for everything that he's been dealing with. It feels like for the better part of, I don't know, 5 or 6 years at this point, from his personal incidents with his ex-wife and his sexual relationships and his accidents and the pills and the surgeries. It's amazing that he's still here. It's amazing that he was able to walk away from this tournament specifically and win back in 2019. But to look at Tiger Woods right now here in the year, what year are we in, 2023? It's like, hey, whatever's left of him, we'll see it. Whatever he can do, God bless him, keep it moving. It feels like it's been coming. It's not like we woke up one day and, you know, he just lost it, or wasn't able to compete, or he just fell off the side of a cliff. Bad choice of words, at least in his play. But the fact is, Tiger Woods has been going through a whole lot of things. Not with an I-N-G and an S. Fangs. A-N-G-S. Tiger Woods has been through so many things. He's just going to have to continue on with his future golf ventures as a businessman. He's going to have to design his courses. But to Shep's point, watching him limp around on any course, yeah, them days need to be over. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Matter of fact, I'll play you some audio from Tiger on the other side of the break. We'll talk about Odell Beckham Jr. He has a new team. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Flea for This Little Light, a podcast about falling in love with music. I started a nonprofit music school about 20 years ago called the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. The reason that I started doing this podcast was music education. I'll be speaking with Rick Rubin, Thundercat, Stuart Copeland, Margot Price, Corey Henry, Cynthia Erivo, Sheila E., and Patti Smith.
Please listen and follow This Little Light, a presentation of Cadence 13 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.